This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to MyBookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny-come-latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code Zabe to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. This is the Zabecast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
It is a Monday, June 2nd edition of the Zabecast coming to you plausibly live from glorious Lake Tahoe, California. I was at a wedding over the weekend for my niece, Alyssa, and her now husband, Colin. Alyssa and Colin Page. And let me tell you, these two young kids should be on the cover of some bridal magazine. I mean, you're talking about one of the most photogenic young couples ever. But not just good looking, smart and tough and crazy. Hell, he proposed to her at 14,000 feet on the summit of Mount Shasta. She has gone on, you know, ski expeditions with him where they have camped in the snow overnight at elevation to do backcountry skiing. I mean, just crazy. And it's a beautiful thing. Venue was up in a place called Gray Eagle, California, or Gry-Eagle, or Gry-Eagle. We stayed in this little motel called the Sierra Sky Lodge. And this thing was the kind of low-slung little strip of rooms constituting what is really a motel. And I told the owner, who was just lovely, this woman, Wendy, owns it with her husband and raised 4 kids in a 1,000-square-foot house that served as the front office for this place as well. I called it a motel in front of her a couple times, and I said, you know, let me catch myself. That was probably considered an insult, but technically it's correct. I'd not stayed in a motel in a long time. Motels, of course, being when your door to your room opens up to the parking lot. Congratulations, you're now in a motel, or perhaps a balcony overlooking the parking lot. Once you get enough money to get out of the motel world, then you get into the hotel world, where at least there's a door you got to go in and then interior hallways. But it was a incredible wedding venue, this place called the 20 Mile House, which was an old railroad stop that is up there in northern, you know, so this thing is an hour north and slightly west of the top of Lake Tahoe, kind of in the middle of nowhere, although there's a, like I said, the small town of Gray Eagle is one that people know about. And this 20-mile house has been preserved. It was built in 1846, I believe, and then it was restored in 1940-something. And it is now privately owned. It is pretty much exclusively a wedding and event venue. And it is buried in this valley of the most idyllic, 120-foot tall pine trees and, you know, other evergreens that just skyscrape in front of you with dappled sunlight. We had beautiful weather as well. It was a great time. So here with the family, we've been here a couple of days. I've got aunts and uncles here. There's a podcast dropping later this week that involves me talking to both my uncle and some of my cousins. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. But I'll warn you up front, it's easily deletable. If you get 5 minutes in, you're like, I don't give a shit about your uncle and whatever he's done in life. Goodbye. See you later. But I got to give you what is my experience, what I'm living right now, because I'm unplugged. I am catching snippets of these ball games. And I have watched the highlights of the Indiana Pacers, who are now through to the NBA Finals for the first time since 2000. I initially thought, I don't think they've ever made the finals, and I had forgotten their unfortunate meeting with the Lakers that year. But yes, they are back in the NBA Finals, and I am off the radio where I would be giving it to my colleague and co-host and basketball man himself, Brian Butch, about calling the Pacers, quote, lucky. I did tweet at him. I go, still lucky, I see. To me, this has shades of the 2004 Pistons all over again. The 2004 Pistons, for those of you too young, and that's scary to think that there could be 21-year-olds right now listening to this podcast that their dad turned them on to. Like, I don't remember that. That was a long time ago. 2004 Pistons basically had no superstar. They had good players, star players, all-star players like Rip Hamilton and others, but they didn't have a superstar. And they went against a Laker team that had just added two big superstars in Gary Payton and Karl Malone in an effort to kind of prop up what was the end of a little bit of a dynastic run for them. And the Pistons tore them to shreds because they were the better team. And they had guys that knew their roles. Now, they're heavy underdogs, the Pacers are, against OKC, and rightfully so. The Pacers are insanely young, deep, athletic, and come at you defensively in ways that no team can. And they are loaded for the future as well. I'm not saying I'd bet money on the Pacers now that they're in the finals, but I would not be shocked if they gave them a hell of a series. This is a good basketball team that's been playing really good basketball and went through the Knicks as they should. Now, of course, Brian is like, well, what if that first game, the shot didn't go in? You know, I'd love to know what it'd be interesting to see. Enough of your bag of what ifs. They had plenty of chances to turn the series back in their favor. The Knicks just aren't and weren't that good. Also, we've got the PG-13 finals because both teams built on the back of trades of Paul George. There is a photo of Halliburton when he was in Sacramento as a King and SGA when he was a Clipper in LA, and somebody put them side by side and they said, someday people will swear this was Photoshopped. Someday. How about right now? I look at it now going, oh, that's right. Yeah, it does look weird to see both of them in their rookie years with different teams. So it's the PG-13 finals, and it's going to be fun to watch. I think because we have these two markets, these two teams in the finals, when it could have been putting the finger on the scale for the Lakers or putting on the finger on the scale for the Warriors or doing the same for the Knicks or the Celtics, I think it's pretty clear that Adam Silver, whether you like him or not, is definitely no David Stern. That the David Stern era of micromanaging this league in subtle ways is definitely over. The ratings will probably stink for these NBA finals because nobody knows any of the players. Or if they do know the players, many of them hate the players, like Halliburton. But I'll watch it. I'll enjoy it. I'll be fascinated by it. And if OKC wins, they are set up for a window that is so wide open. It's crazy. I would argue that with the assets still coming because of Sam Presti's amazing stewardship as GM and what he did to stockpile and stockpile and stockpile, he for at least 4 years, I believe, he didn't turn down a deal in which he could take one high pick and turn it into two also high picks just a year or two later. He was treating his draft picks like they were a pen of rabbits, and he wanted them to multiply. Have sex, multiply. And so now I have to ask the dumbest question in the world, and you tell me if it's a dumb question or if it's actually a decent question, which is it possible they have too many assets that they don't need this many players? I know, dumb question, I just have to ask it. Also, the celebrity sniping in this series was hilarious. With the back and forth, you had guys like McCollum flexing on the entire glitter row in New York, like he's some kind of baller. He's a nice player. He's a role player. But that was funny. You had Pat McAfee doing the whole, let's send these bastards back to New York with a big fat loss. And some people didn't like it because there's this thing called Hoosier hospitality that they believe in, that we're not like those hooligans from New York City. We are Indiana. We are Midwest nice. Even though we're trying to rip your guts out on the court, we're not going to be that type of fan base. So those two things, McConnell along with McAfee, got one John Mellencamp. Yeah, that guy, John Cougar, then John Cougar Mellencamp, now just John Mellencamp again, to put out a social media post in which he decried the lack of Hoosier hospitality. And let me tell you, that was a poor choice for John Mellencamp. Because even if he is still hayseed enough to say, look who's in the big town, people began to roast him with, hey, aren't you the asshole that won't stand up for the anthem? Hey, aren't you the dick that was in an elevator and kicked me and my girlfriend out because you wanted to ride alone? Hey, aren't you the guy? And it was just story after story of John Mellencamp being a well-known dick and the last guy that should be talking about, quote, Hoosier hospitality. Also, there was a funny video because Pascal Siakam got the MVP. More on that in a second. Funny video in which Halliburton looked like he was moving to the front as they began to announce it, as they were going to hand it out. Reggie Miller's there, dressed in all black. Okay, and the MVP for the series. And it ends up going to Pascal Siakam instead. Whoops. Awkward. Of course, that's the only thing the Halliburton haters have right now to cling on to. That tiny little piece of wreckage floating in the ocean of, oh, he looked stupid for a second because he thought he was going to win it. He almost won it. But here's what blows me away. Only nine votes. There's only nine voters for the conference finals MVP. I mean, there's certainly more than nine people covering it, but somehow they limit it to just nine votes. And I have no idea if this is an every year thing, if it's a lottery thing or not. Siakam, by the way, won five of the nine votes. Halliburton won four. Hey, how about that? Here were your voters. I'll tell you who I've heard of and who I think does good work. Steve Ashburner, NBA.com. Okay, fine. I might vaguely know him. He works for the league. Tim Bontemps, ESPN.com. He's excellent. Jamal Collier, ESPN.com. He's excellent. Dustin Dopierak, Indianapolis Star. Don't know him. Might be good. Katie George, ESPN Radio. No. We should not be having sideline reporters under the age of 30 voting on this stuff. Just my opinion. Fred Katz of The Athletic. I think he does good work. I subscribe to The Athletic for the mere $1 a month, which is probably why The Athletic cannot be making money at all, but I do, and I've probably read his stuff. I'll assume he's pretty good. Reggie Miller, TNT. I don't know if that's a good choice either, putting him on there. Steve Popper of Newsday, don't know him, and Joe Varden of The Athletic. Now, why only nine guys? Why not have more? Do they not want to count votes? I mean, who vets who is the voters? How do they do this? I know it's just a silly little award on the way to the NBA Finals from which they will, you know, give an NBA Finals MVP. Maybe they'll broaden the number of people voting on that, but I just found that a bit odd. So the Knicks, they're sitting here thinking, son of a bitch, we thought this was our year. We were favored in the series. We had Brian Butch's seal of approval as the better team. And we were rolling there in game one before, whoops, what just happened? Knicks fans are now feeling like they might be screwed, that this might have been their best chance, given that they beat an injured Celtics team, and that even though they've got Brunson at a discount, by the way, Brunson signed for a huge chunk under what he would have been able to unlock as a salary. We're talking about reports are he likely turned down over $100 million because of him signing for a friendly deal before he unlocked all the Supermax stuff. But a lot of Knicks fans feel like they're screwed even with Brunson. And that includes Becky Hammond. Becky Hammond, who has long been noted as or pegged as the eventual successor to Popovich in San Antonio. I don't know if that's a good thing, but I will say I loved Becky Hammond's brutal honesty in this exchange on ESPN. Take a listen.
How stuck do you think the Knicks are here in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I certainly agree with you. They're not getting into that tier. They don't have enough personnel. They don't have the manpower that they need to hang with those guys. I think you're going to get a consistent team like they've been. They're a pretty good team. They're well coached. They're going to be on their defensive game. But at the end of the day, they don't have a dude. You got to have a dude. You got to have a 1A dude. And they're missing that at the end of the day if we're just getting down to brass tacks.
Brass tacks?
Sorry.
I didn't want to.
Was that an intentional malapropism? Might have been.
Disagree with Becky.
The real expression is brass tacks. Tacks, like nails.
They do have that dude.
Who?
They do have that dude.
Jalen Brunson.
No, he's too Jalen small.
Brunson. But here's the thing, and that's
didn't
that's,
they say about you?
But you know
he
what?
Say that about you,
but
and you're a Hall of Famer.
I got a philosophy. But can I say my philosophy?
Go ahead.
If your best player is small, you're not winning. John Stockton, Allen Iverson, Steve Nash, you could go down the list.
Steph Curry.
He's not that small. He's like 6'3".
He might be 6'1", 6'2". He's on the edge of being too small, but he's got a superpower. That's the thing. Even though Brunson's Mr. Clutch and he is approaching superpower status with his ability to wiggle and weave and get shots up and, you know, when games are on the line, he ain't no Steph Curry.
And he's the greatest shooter to ever walk the planet. He's in an
outlier.
Class.
Okay.
History says she is right.
Okay, but we're living in a new age, okay? New day.
Kendrick Perkins' syrupy vocal stylings, even though he says some of the dumbest shit ever, just crack me up. I could listen to him talk all the time. Good. I'm on Team Hammond. Even though Brunson's great and you don't want to get rid of him, I don't see them winning big with a guy that small. So we're off to the NBA Finals, which is going to be an all ABC affair. And like I said, the ratings will probably stink, but let's not make too much of a deal of that because it's not like we're ad buyers, not like we've committed millions of dollars to this thing, and it's not like we're the league itself. So who the hell cares about the ratings? As fans, let's enjoy the series. Next year's NBA television partners and their sort of array of outlets for games, along with your local regional sports nets that you're probably having to pay now $20 a month to watch your favorite teams on that regional sports net, like a FanDuel kind of deal, regional sports network. Here is your NBA schedule for the next 11 years, starting next year. This is from Boston Radio Watch on Twitter. Mondays, Peacock. Tuesdays, NBC. Wednesdays, ESPN. Thursday's Amazon. What's that? Do you need to write this down? Friday, ESPN and Amazon. Okay. All right. I think I got it. I got it now. I'm not going to watch this much NBA. I'll just wait till kind of now next year. I'll wait till the quarters and the semis. Okay. Well, hold on a second. So it's Peacock, NBC, ESPN, Amazon, Monday through Thursday, then a ESPN, Amazon split Friday. And then on Saturday, ESPN, Amazon, and ABC. And then Sunday will be NBC at night, ESPN, and ABC in the afternoons. Oh, man. That is a lot of product scattered all over the place. Now, if you have all those services and all those channels, you'll be able to get whatever you want. And if you care much enough to watch NBA in January and February and whatnot, then you're going to go find it. But that is something else right there. And of course, Inside the NBA is now coming to ESPN. And one of the more convoluted deals that I know that I've ever seen, I think any TV executive in sports has ever seen, in which the show will still be the same cast of characters, good, and it'll be produced in Atlanta by the TNT people, producers, you know, cameramen, assistant producers, graphics people. Okay, good. But it's going to be licensed to ABC/ESPN. And other than just saying, well, it'll be on, the show will be on before, during, and after all the big high-leverage NBA moments and events and games throughout the playoffs, there is still a ton of confusion as to how is this actually going to work. And there's quite a bit of skepticism that once the show is being placed on the ESPN ABC platform, that even though they're supposed to have no finger in the pie when it comes to making the show and telling them what to do, or more importantly, what to not do, that it is going to be influenced, that they will change the formula of what has worked so well. Here was Ernie Johnson signing off in an emotional farewell. Everybody loves Ernie, right?
We're grateful for that, and also grateful that we have members of our crew who are going to go work at NBC or work at Amazon. And you know why they got those jobs? Because their resume says NBA on TNT. So thank you. We have been honored to do this. And we look forward. The four of us, as you've already heard, the four of us are going to be together. Our production crew is going to be together. It's going to be that same bunch. We're still going to be shooting that show in Atlanta. It's just going to air somewhere else. And so the craziness that you've seen, the nonsense and the foolishness and the top-notch basketball analysis, all of that stuff's going to be on. It's going to be on ESPN or ABC next year, not on TNT. For that, we're sad. But I'm proud to say for the last time, thanks for watching us. It's the NBA on TNT.
Before we go, guys, let's get a mic drop.
That's good stuff from Ernie Johnson. So well respected and liked, and is the key part. The circus doesn't work without the ringleader, that is Ernie Johnson. So, will it work? And is it going to be messed with? Is something that those who are big fans of the show are, I think, quite nervous about. Here's a couple clips from Bill Simmons on his podcast on The Ringer, talking about, well, you know, this is what could happen. Here we go. First cut right here. Hold on a second. No, I don't want to play that one just yet. Here we go right here. I think this is the one. Yep. Okay. Here it is. Bill Simmons saying he has fears. Let's put it that way. He is concerned that ESPN will screw it up. And he knows. Oh, he knows quite clearly how ESPN works and the things that they do to mess up a good thing.
Zag. I didn't understand.
I think they're going to fuck the show up. I don't think they unless they completely change how they do commercials, the show is going to be different and people are going to be pissed and Barkley and those guys are going to be pissed. And I think it's going to go badly. The only way it doesn't go badly is if they do the commercials and they give them the lengthy segments that you need to have that show work. They're going to have to change how they do it. They just paid so much for the NBA. That if they don't do that and they do these same short, terrible segments that you're about to see in the finals where it's like a 1.5 minute halftime and it's like a 20 minute pregame, if they do that, they're going to f*** the show up and everybody's going to be mad. If they mess with any piece of this, everyone's going to be mad.
Right.
And that's the part that I can't wait to watch. Like even like little insignificant stuff, if we feel like it's different anyway, people would be mad.
Okay. I agree. It's already, no matter what, like there could be no changes, but viewers might insist, oh, I can tell it's now watered down. Here's the real crazy thing. Listen to what Ryan Russillo on this Bill Simmons podcast suggests could be something ESPN might try to do. Take a listen to this.
And that's the thing ESPN can't risk with that show. You have to have these guys after games weighing in a big picture on stuff that only really Barkley and Kenny. Like that's where the show really matters, and they can't fuck with it.
What if they replace Kenny with Mina Kimes?
With ESPN people?
Okay.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes, that would go over as well as Poochie the dog. If you know, you know. She would be as welcome as Jar Jar Binks by Star Wars fans. Are you kidding me?
Matters, and they can't fuck with it.
What if they replace Kenny with Mina Kimes?
With ESPN people?
Okay. All right.
Now, Russillo's straight-faced here as I'm watching it. He's not joking like, haha, that would be a terrible idea.
Just thinking a crossover appeal, like off the Stephen A. point. Like.
Simmons and his other co-host just dumbfounded. Like, this is a work, right? Can't possibly be the case. I turned to Worldwide Wob, Rob Perez, one of the best follows on Twitter for the NBA. When Bomani Jones asked, my question about the ESPN era of Inside the NBA is whether they'll do a post-game show. I've not seen that answered. Has it been answered? Because, you know, ESPN have their own personalities and their own talent to do pre, half, and post. And Worldwide Wob, who covers the watches the NBA, talks about the NBA more than anybody, says there's a couple of big things to consider here. Number one, SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt is ESPN's flagship post-game coverage after any big games in any league. He's right. And Van Pelt Center, as I call it, is outstanding. Appearances and contracts are usually determined years in advance of fulfilling the term, so I don't know how easy it would be to change the show's scheduling if needed or if it's even preferred by Bristol and the suits at ESPN. Number two, ABC games are not only broadcast network games, but they're on weekends as well. They're not going to have the boys replace the local news, so if they put them on ESPN after a game ends, then they would conflict with the other live sports properties. So then what? ESPN2 for Inside the NBA? Making you hop from a network ABC that's obviously going to dump away at 6 o'clock because, my God, there's been a thunderstorm in the tri-state area and there's a tree that's down and we've got our news crew on the scene. Let's go to Judy Smithson, on the scene there. Judy, what do we got going here? Well, this tree here just fell down and causing a big mess, and they're going to have to get some chainsaws out here. Okay, thank you. We'll keep you updated on that. You know how local news is. They're not going to run Kenny and Charles and Shaq and Ernie on local, so you got to hop then to cable, maybe hop again to ESPN2. Who knows? And you're putting the show on ESPN2, and yet Barkley's a $20 million guy. I believe Shaq is close to a $20 million guy. Jet is, I'm sure, close to 10. Ernie's 3, 4, 5, 6. Nice salary for him. Holy cow, is that an expensive show. Everyone keeps saying, don't worry, they're coming back, says Worldwide Wob, but I do worry about the potency of what makes the show so great, and that is the postgame. And I worry about it being diluted by scheduling inconsistencies, like does it hit the same on a regular season weekend day or night as it does on Thursdays? We've become accustomed to Thursdays. Will it still be an hour plus and let them improv if something runs long? Could they push back a rerun of Bones at 1 a.m. on TNT easily? Or they could push back a rerun of Bones at 1 a.m. on TNT quite easily, but not a tip-off kickoff of a different live ESPN property. Is Van Pelt's show after games just going to disappear to make room? That too seems unlikely and wouldn't be a consensus preference amongst even the biggest of inside the NBA fans. Pre-game and halftime shows are not even technically inside the NBA, which is a variety show. This is all separate from the corporate Game of Thrones, writes Worldwide Wob, happening behind the scenes at Disney, where those executives are notorious for cutting each other's throats with different agendas and different priorities, and not all may want this to succeed. TLDR, he says, too long, didn't read. Of course, I did just read it. There are so many sequels. There are only so many sequels as good as the original. And that's for a reason. And I will say, that sounds about right to me.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro. And I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, mybookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code Zabe to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.
Instant replay. Let's use it to officiate sports. Why not? We got all these cameras. They've got a clear view of these plays. Umpires and referees make mistakes. You wouldn't want a mistake to sit there uncorrected. A team may lose. A team may lose a game, a sports game. With big sports importance, why don't we just let television help us out and we'll see the obviously right call and then we'll fix it. Yeah, that's what replay was supposed to do. And then the devil was in the details. And then you had to go, well, we got to review everything. Who's going to initiate the reviews? How many do you get? And then we found out the more and more we looked at everything, damn, a lot of plays that are really close. Damn, I'm not sure what happened there. Or, dang, that play was wrong, that call was wrong. But there was another thing that is not even reviewable that was even wronger. A foul, a penalty, a holding call, whatever. But people still believe in replay. And so when disasters like this one happened in college softball, people are still going to defend it. Those who worship the false god that is replay.
UCLA and Tennessee in the College World, the Softball College World Series. UCLA hitter hits a home run, is being greeted at home plate by her adoring teammates in a big old mob. Great. It's typical stuff, right? The UCLA player comes to the plate and kind of stomps on the plate, or maybe she thought, but didn't look real close because there was all of her teammates ready to mob her. Turns out she missed the plate. One of her teammates, after they got done mobbing her, realized, hey, you may have missed the plate. You should go back and touch it. So they do that. But here's the problem. That's known as assisting the runner. And that's not legal. So let's let replay figure it out. Which they tried for nearly 15 minutes, only to come back with this.
After review, the calling on the field is upheld, and the run will score. The runner did miss home plate and was assisted. However, that play is not reviewable according to Appendix D.
And I know you're going to say, my boy Tim Murray, who of VSiN, who loves replays so much, he believes in it so fully, he's going to say, that's not replay's fault. That's the way they wrote the rules. See, that's they got to fix the rules on what is or is not reviewable. Brother, if replay's stopping the game for 15 minutes to try to get something obviously wrong right, and they still can't get it right because the rules are not written the way they should be, that's also part of replay. The whole system is part of replay. Stop trying to say, well, that's technically not the problem. Couple golf things and we're done here. Scottie Scheffler wins at Jack's Place. I got to say, going back to Friday's subscriber edition of the Zabecast, it was Thursday. You took Friday off. Okay, I did. But the subscriber Thursday edition, where my boy Scott Lynn really leaned into the character, or really caricature, of one evil Jack Nicklaus, which I need to reset once again for those who are new. Where did this come from? For years, of course, Nicklaus was not post playing career. Nicklaus didn't talk a lot in the media, so he was a bit of a mystery of sorts because he really wasn't out there. And then he started to do more media avails and interviews and whatnot, and it was great to hear and see. But I was joking. Oh yeah, this all sprang from a night golf event in which Nicklaus was still playing. This was 2000 maybe. It was a night golf paired event. Nicklaus was still able to slap it around and not embarrass himself. So he was a senior player. They had a senior and a regular tour player, and they were playing and whatnot. He had a putt, and there was one of the LPGA players, or it might have been a female reporter, who was standing in his line, and he's like, I need you to get out of my line. You know, you're very pretty to look at, but I need to try to see where this putt's going. And that squeaky, high-pitched Ohio accent of his. So I joked to Scott, I said, what if Nicklaus, who I think is one of the classiest, most respected guys there is in the game of golf, what if quietly, privately, he was a complete dick? I'm like, what if he was really, really off the rails, aggressively an asshole? And that's what spawned this. It was a ludicrous notion, by the way, that Nicklaus could or would be that way, and he's not that way. But because we envisioned this, it spawned the character of evil Jack, the flip side of the coin Jack Nicklaus, that Scott, with his high-pitched voice and his ability to speak golf and be very funny about it, leaned into. I think, by the way, his Thursday performance with us was the best I've ever heard evil Jack. He was fantastic. And there's a Nicklaus quote coming up here, a bite here I want you to hear in just a second. But Scheffler wins at Jack's Place. That's his third win now in four tournaments. Basically, third win in a month. He's pocketed $10 million in prize money alone. And those three wins are as many wins as the Colorado Rockies have in the last month, going back 28 days. That is one of the all-time stats of the day. But Nicklaus said this about Scheffler, who beat Ben Griffin, who's on a heater right now, as one of these tour guys that gets hot, but is clearly not on Scheffler's level. Here was Nicklaus just saying, you know what? I'm not mincing words anymore. Screw it. I'm just going to be dead honest.
Given the body of work that Scotty is putting together, what makes him elite?
Well, I think that, you know, great players are ones who rise to the occasion and ones who know how to play coming down the stretch in important events. And, you know, looking at the leaderboard today, he didn't have, I mean, Ben Griffin's a nice player. Sepp Straka is a nice player. Nick Taylor is a nice player. Those are all the guys that were there basically coming down the stretch. But he knows that those guys, you know, are not in his league. Now, if he'd had, I don't know who else it might have been, but if somebody else at the top, or Xander or somebody like that would have been there, he might have said, well, that might be a little tougher. I might have to do something. He didn't have to.
Wow. I mean, Nicklaus ain't wrong, but I can already hear Scott doing his impression. Yeah, Ben Griffin, who the hell's that guy? I love it. It's sad that Jack is clearly not moving very well these days, as he's 86 years old, as Barbara also, as they went out to their chairs to greet the winner behind the 18th green, which was Scheffler again for the second straight year. We're not going to have him much longer, so I want to cherish every one of these, and I hope we can make it in good health to next year's event, because it's really good. And he set that course up to be an absolute bitch. And when Scheffler wins it at 8-under, that's it for 4 days. That tells you right there. They set it up to be hard. Nicklaus did, and it delivered. It delivered. Also, Spieth almost killed a person with a shot where they didn't move the crowd back nearly enough. Not going to talk about that here. You can tune in to the Capital Golf Gang when we record later on this week on Thursday, and we will definitely get into it. But the other thing about Scotty winning was, of course, once again, his beautiful bride, Meredith, hands him their 10-month-old, 11-month-old son, Bennett. And this time, she says, watch out, he's got poop all up his back. Because that's what happens in diaper blowouts. Anyone with kids knows the story. Sure enough, you could see the brown spot on Scheffler's son in the middle of his onesie back. And did Scheffler then hold the baby out at arm's length and go, ooh, God, take care of that? Nope. He said, all right, give them to me. I'll deal with it. Poopy back and all. Scheffler's the dude. Anyone that says he's boring is not paying close enough attention. Lastly, I guess, shouldn't be telling you about this because it technically, I think, reduces my odds. Although I'm not sure by how much, if at all. You do know the Masters has a lottery in which you can, if you're one of the lucky few, purchase tickets for next year's Masters tournament at face value, which is a insane steal because a tournament badge for the tournament days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, one-day badges, those are $160. You just have to go search Masters Ticket Lottery. You'll find the page. And then you give them information. It's, you know, they kind of control it by saying, look, this is your residence. This is, you know, this is where, you know, your email. And they have ways to keep you from trying to game the system. But they run a lottery every year. You can win tickets. I said, you can only win one day. So you can't win a practice round and a Friday or, you know, Thursday and a Sunday. You get one. If you win, you get one. But they say, what days would you be able to go? And me, like I think most golf fans, I said, all the days. You give me the most on any of the days, I'll rearrange my schedule to be there. But it's one of the coolest things because they don't have to do this. And I don't have to tell you about this if this is new to you, but I feel like it's bad karma for me to go, shh, don't tell anybody about the lottery. I've entered it every year. I've not won yet. My podmaster, Chris Broussard, did win it and took me, only because his best friend from college bailed at the last minute. Thank you, CB. That was a great day we had a couple of years ago. So it's winnable. I know other people who have won it. It's a very cool thing. So go ahead and search it. And as they said in the Hunger Games, may the odds be ever in your favor. Just, you know, not my favor, because I don't win these things. You'll win this thing, but I definitely will.
Happy Hunger Games, and may the odds be ever in your favor.
That will do it for me tonight. Couple more days here in Lake Tahoe as we linger a bit longer. The weather is insanely beautiful. And I'll be back into the grind on Thursday on the radio, but I'll be delivering podcasts throughout the week. So thank you for your patience with me when it comes to the podcast front. Have a great Monday, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it, it's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At MyBookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to MyBookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny-come-latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.